First Timothy chapter number 4 tonight. First Timothy chapter 4. The title of the message tonight is The Real Purpose of Sports. The real purpose of sports. Right now, less than 3 miles from us, is the World Series, College World Series, taking place. I don't remember what teams are playing. Who can tell me? I don't remember, to tell you the truth. Arkansas and Oregon. I knew that. Okay. And I will tell you this. I've seen 2, 3, 4 innings here and there of a few of the different games. And don't ask me to root for you, because every team I was rooting for, they lost. So whoever you're for, you ought to tell me root for the other team, okay? Oh, whatever works there. First Timothy chapter number 4. And I'm going to begin reading verse number 6 in just a moment. I want to ask you a question, though. Are sports bad? Are they sin? No. Should Christians be involved? Interesting thoughts. We find that sports play a very major role in our society and the lives of the average citizen of this nation. Many of the highest paid people in the world are sports players. If I see a basketball team of professionals or a football team or baseball, whatever it might be, I'm thinking, there's a bunch of millionaires playing each other. And ridiculous prices are given to these people. There are coaches of state-run universities, including the state of Iowa, that make more money than the governor of the state. Interesting that we have that. Chapter number 4, begin reading with me in verse number 6, and let's see what he says. It says, "Thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." He goes on to say, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed of thyself and of the doctrine. Continue them, for doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I pray, oh God, tonight you might help us to align our priorities, as we spoke of this morning. Help us, oh God, to understand some principles that you lay down in your word. And Lord, I pray that as we go forth, that we might be very, very interested in promoting the wondrous cause of Christ. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We find that there are many biblical references to sports. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And then he says, "So run ye that ye may obtain." 2 verses later he says, "Therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I as one that beateth the air." Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." He speaks of fighting. Maybe it's boxing, maybe it's wrestling. We can adapt however we wish, but we find in 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. As he's closing out the epistles that God has given to write, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. To the Ephesians, he wrote in chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We think of it in general way. To the Philippians, he wrote in chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy 2, 5, he says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Referring to sports. I believe there's a common element in all of these, and I believe we find verse number 8 summarizing that, and where I'd like to park for just a few moments tonight. And so as we go to verse number 8 of chapter number 4, what's it say? Bodily exercise profiteth. It does say profit, doesn't it? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. First of all, I'd like to say tonight, I believe that sports in and of themselves are really something that God wants us to use as a tool to teach valuable life lessons. There's marvelous things we can learn from sports. If it's a team situation, we learn how what? We learn how to get along together. We learn how to, one person does one thing, another does something else, and we put those skills and those things together, and we can accomplish a goal. Is that not what a church does as we fight against the things of this old world? And so we have that. We find that if we're going to have a good ability in a sport, we have to practice, do we not? And so we got to take time to prepare ourselves, and so we go through different activities. If you were to go out for, like some of our girls, they go out for volleyball, and they think the very first night they're going to scrimmage, and what are they doing? They're running. Oh, whoopee, this is what I wanted to do, is come out for volleyball and run. And I'd go out for sports, and they'd have me running. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is ridiculous. I remember the first time I went out for basketball. We ran up and down the court, and we ran by ourselves. Pretty soon, we were throwing the ball back and forth to each other. Pretty soon, we were doing bounce passes to each other, running up and down the court, and up and down, up and down, up and down. And they were preparing me for the day, because I always played center, that I have to run from one end to the other. And I can remember so vividly the coaches say, Springer, hurry up and get down there. Look at that guy right there. He's beating you every time. Well, he was the guard. He was playing out at the top of the key. I was clear down in the baseline. I'm supposed to beat him to the next baseline. Well, all he has to do is go top to top. But I had that come on me. What was he trying to do? He's trying to train me, trying to get me to get better in that sort of thing. And so it can teach us some valuable lessons. We have to practice. If you're going to play the piano, you got to practice. Amen. If you're going to teach or preach a message, you've got to what? You've got to repair and at least practice in your mind. It's got to go through some things. And I have found that any type of sports activity has really a purpose in educating us in godliness if we will see that. If we'll see that. Notice verse 7. What's it say? Refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He talks about being in good doctrine, verse number 6, and he says, let's reject these fairy tales that are out there. And he says, exercise thyself unto godliness. And then he takes us a little bit farther and says, bodily exercise profit a little. He wants us to understand where the real exercise is. But godliness is profitable unto all things. I look at all these verses and I see what the Lord is teaching us, and I look at that, and the Apostle Paul, as he gave us those verses, trying to teach us some valuable truth. And so what are the purposes of sports? I believe a great purpose of sports in life of a Christian is to teach us some valuable life lessons. They ought to do that. It's not just to have fun. It's not that we can go out there and just win or whatever it is. And by the way, parents, it's not just for your vanity. Too many kids are forced into sports because mom and dad want to sit on the cheer line, on the cheering side and say, that's my kid out there. They live vicariously through their children. And that's another subject, another time. Note needs to be made that bodily exercise has only a little worth for us, while godliness has much more. Did you notice in verse number 8 also, as he comes to the close of that verse, he says, having promised the life that now is and of that which is to come. Bodily exercise is not going to help us in the life to come. Did you notice that? Matter of fact, too much of it might get us into the life to come much quicker. You know, people say, you need to get your heart rate up every now and then. My cardiologist gives me a pill that keeps my heart rate down. And I went to him here a while back and I said, Doc, if I do something a little strenuous, my heart won't speed up and I got to wait for it to catch up. He says, well, cut it in half. So I cut it in half. Went back again about a month or two later, and I says, Doc, it's still not working. And he says, cut it in half again. So now I'm at a fourth. And one of these days, he'll have me throw that thing away. That'll be good news. And I'll get rid of it altogether. But we need our heart to get up sometimes, they tell us. And so they tell us we need to exercise and work out and get that heart pumping because that's good for us. I've got a theory on this. God has made you with so many heartbeats. Why use them so quickly? Doc, years ago, he said, I get up every morning and walk around the block. And then he says, then I kick it back under the bed. You might not know this, but a few years later, he gave me that block. He got tired of kicking it. I believe there's very valuable lessons we can learn. And when we go to the Word of God, we begin to study it, we can learn some tremendous things. But sometimes sports get in the way of that, do we not? We have family times, and sometimes sports can get in the way of that. And rather sit down to a meal and enjoying each other's company, what do we do sometimes? Turn the television on. Some people have their television right in the living room so they don't miss anything. And take away from that time. Sometimes we allow sports to become that which takes the place of church services. And really, if we stop and think about it, those kinds of things are not to be subservient to sports. And we ought to have power over that. But what can sports teach us? Well, I believe, first of all, sports can teach us some very valuable lessons in life, but they ought to be spiritual lessons, not just how to play ball better. It's taken us through life. If you can hit a baseball over the fence and you don't know how to live, there's a problem, is there not? If you can dribble a basketball and run down the court and dunk the ball and make points on a basketball team, but you don't learn how to live and don't learn how to live for God, what have you gained? If you can get on the football field and get behind that center and take the snap and take a few steps backwards, find somebody out in the field and throw the ball and hits him square in the chest every time, but you don't know how to live, there's a problem, is there not? All we have to do is look at some of our college athletes, some of our professional athletes, and we know they do not know how to live. They end up in jail because of some great abuses in their lives. And so we need to understand sports do have a position, but we need to have them in the right perspective. I would say one other thing as I consider this. Exercise, and we can use the word sports if you want, exercise can be used for better health, that we might be more able to practice godliness. A year ago, I wasn't here very much. 111 days, I was in the hospital. I spent my 50th anniversary in a high-priced resort. Had my meals catered to me. I mean, what more could you want? I had people coming in every so often, say, how are you doing? Can I help you in this or that or the other thing? And there I was. And though I could witness and take some time with the doctors and nurses that came in, listen, you don't get a whole lot done when you're sick. And so it has some profit for us. But I believe the profit is that we might be able to practice godliness. It's exercising plus, can I say, meditating upon the doctrines of God, of our attendance to reading, to the preaching of the Word of God, to teaching. Notice verse 13, till I come, give attendance to that. Give attendance to reading. What's he referring to? Well, first of all, be the Scripture, would it not? There's some tremendous books out there that we can get a hold of and read that can help us in the matters of our spirituality. So he says, give attendance to reading. Give attention to exhortation. Basically, that's preaching. Get into the sound of preaching. One of the things I like about going to camp is I get preached to. Sometimes I don't like it because they're getting on my case. But that's the way that goes. Gives me an opportunity to hear something and get things straight in my life. But there's the preaching that is available there. And thank the Lord, we have that privilege to allow those things to come in our life. He says, give attendance to exhortation. Give attendance to doctrine. Give it some time. Be there. Be present as we begin to learn the tremendous doctrines of God. For it is in these things, rather than a ball game, that we are going to be more profitable for Him. Notice verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself, what is that next word? Holy. It's spelled with a W. Speaking about the whole thing. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. It's the spiritual profiting that's going to be of a blessing unto others. It's that which is going to cause us to have inroads into another life. Exercise can be used to get a better health. I try to walk so much a day. I've gone to the Y, haven't been there for a couple of weeks, but go up and actually walk in their pool. If I can start walking on water, I just go to heaven. But walk in the pool, and it has something that really is very helpful to me. Get in there and wave my arms around a little bit underwater and try to build up some muscles and so forth. And that helps some things. And the purpose of it is not so that you can look at me and say, boy, he is buff. You'll never do that. But that I can have enough strength to do what I do. And it is that we might practice godliness in our lives. Exercise does profit, but the Bible says little. But there's something I notice in verse number 8, and that is this. There's a guarantee placed upon godliness. Do you notice what it says? Godliness is profitable unto all things, having what? Promise. That's a guarantee. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You see, it has effect right now, but it has effect throughout eternity. And that's what God really wants out of our life. How many of you remember me hitting a triple in a ball game when I was 9 years age? How many remember that? How many knew that? Nobody knew it. Nobody remembers it. See, it really wasn't that big a deal. Well, it was if you knew my coach, and he thought to himself, there's two men on base, we're behind by one run, and he says to himself, and my brother-in-law, who happened to be there, said, he says, oh no, Springer's at bat. Just to clarify the whole thing, we had a really good pitcher that day. He knew how to hit my bat. But that's a very little profit in the big scheme of things. But as we exercise godliness, what happens? It begins to have effect in our life and the life of others. So I asked this question. I asked earlier, are sports wrong? No. Are they sin? No. But do your sports bring you closer to God or farther away? We'd ask ourselves that. And that's whether we participate or observe. Do they bring us closer to God or farther away? Interesting. It's been about 3-4 years ago. I had opportunity on several nights to go down to watch the hockey that used to be here in Council Bluffs. I forget what they called them. And so I went to several games. I go down there on Saturday night. And I'll tell you what. You know, they want these things to be family-oriented, want people to come and enjoy themselves. And I have hearing aids today because this music's so loud, it just bursts your brains. And you can't talk to anybody. Have you ever noticed that? And if there's a break in the action, what do? They turn that stuff up. I'd like to find the guy with the knob and turn that down and glue it in spot. But I come home because of the action, because of that which they call music, the noise, and I felt out of sorts. I came in on Sunday mornings, and it just wasn't there. And I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't want something on Saturday night messing me up on Sunday morning. Is hockey wrong? No, it's an interesting sport. I've never done it, nor could I do it. I'd be lucky to skate from one end to the other without falling down. The problem is not the sports, it's how we look at it. Does it bring us closer to God or farther away? Do we learn from it? Do we allow it to help us so that we can be more spiritual? Or does it drag us away from God? If it drags us away, you need to do what I did. Cut it out. Because it won't improve. Really, seriously. That we might what? Have a closer walk with God. Bodily exercise, what? Profiteth how much? Doesn't say none, but does say little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, the guarantee, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. It has temporary and eternal benefits. That's what God wants in our life. Amen? Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, O God, that we have so many things that are available to teach us. And Lord, we realize that from your word and the many scriptures we looked at and others that we did not, that each one of them had for their purpose to teach us lessons, to help us understand what was being conveyed. When Paul said, I fought a good fight, we can see and understand that. We can recognize that there was great opponents. We can recognize that no doubt there were some times he got beat up royally, and we know that he did. But we also know that the Bible teaches us a righteous man falleth 7 times and getteth up again. And so when we get tackled in that football, we can be reminded we got to get up again. When we strike out, we're reminded we got to get up again. But it's not just so we can play a sport, but, oh God, that we might recognize eternal benefits from it. God, work on our hearts in this. Lord, we find that our world is so obsessed with it, and we get caught up so often in that. Help us to find the eternal reward with it and use it to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.